Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
I'm glad I didn't come to the house of God dependent upon a man this morning. And you got to be careful even when you hear things as such. God came and dwelled in fullness in the Son of Man and brought hope and life and salvation. And God's still using man this day. And when we speak like this, it's not speaking in disrespect, because we know the Bible says, give honor to who honor's due. And we know that if we do not believe that God is in the flesh, then we're Antichrist. And God is this morning dwelling within the many-membered body this morning, and He's here present with us, and He's here to meet your needs this day, to speak to your heart, to open up your understanding, to deliver you from afflictions, to edify you, to strengthen you, to take the pains and the agony and the woes away, that you could walk in liberty and power of salvation and the strength of the Holy Ghost. We're serving an awesome God, a real God this day. I want you to open up your Bibles this morning over into the Old Testament to the book of Joshua. I want to go over to the last chapter, which is chapter 24 of the book of Joshua. Let's go to about the 13th verse right there. He says, "And I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards, which you planted not, do you eat." We're going to read on in just a moment, but you know, brothers and sisters, we have entered into the labor of the Lord of some great men of God over years. You know, some of us have been fortunate to walk with what we would say are great men of God, and we see and contribute to their labors of love and their ministries of evangelism, missionary endeavors, and many things. But you know, when we look back beyond and before them men, and we start going down through a course of what we might call time, even looking into what we call the church ages. The Bible teaches seven churches, seven church age messengers. We could look through the time span of just the last maybe 100 years, going back to even considering and pondering on the Azusa Street. We think of many great men of God that have walked along the earth, or even in just our land of the United States. Some of us have read the stories of the great men of old with great exploits, great endeavors. Some of you might have different ones in mind. Some might look to the Oral Roberts and the Billy Graham of this day and hour, maybe. Some might go over and think of T.L. Osborne and some of his exploits. Some might go farther back, think of some of the Billy Sundays, possibly. Smith Wigglesworth. There's been so many. And when you look into many of those men's lives, you found some awesome blessings of God. We find that the rain comes on the just and the unjust. Some of their doctrines weren't even right. But then there was great exploits of miracles and different things that took place in their lives. But there was men that did labors. If we would go back and look at the starting of the Protestant church in the 1500s, we may say, and we could think of the great strength and things of Martin Luther and how he put his life on the line, threatened to be killed and things. But then we could look, and it was still, even though he come to a revelation of a message of faith and protested against Catholicism, he still carried much doctrine of error even when he came out. And we see a progression going through this time of the church ages, and we see that these different messengers come along. Find John Wesley bringing in some methods of worship. The church is numbered after him. The Methodist church has gone into gross error. I mean grossest of error with some of the foolishness going on. But still, these were great men of God that brought wonderful things to us. Wonderful messages. When we're talking about coming into others' labors, we're talking here as the scriptures speak about living in land and cities. The black man that lives in the United States of America, some of them are very racist and they look over the white men, but they don't know that over 900,000 white men were killed to bring liberty and freedom to the black man. You see, they've entered into someone else's labor. Some still carry hatred and things of such. We could think of men that fought across different lands that were called Americans and went off into other foreign fields and shed blood, that we could continue to walk in freedom in our land and within our nation. And you happen to be one that's walking in a land of such that you've got freedom and different things here because of the labors of other. In our Christianity, we walk in the labors of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't earn salvation, brothers and sisters. It's not something that we earn by works. It was a free gift of God. Jesus Christ is the one that came the works and completed it. He finished it. And we've entered in and we walked in, brothers and sisters. We're partaking of things. Here it speaks about eating of vineyards and olive orchards and things of such that you didn't plant. We're all blessed, brothers and sisters. There's been great men of God that have plowed the field, so to speak, and cut down the paths for us. And we've entered into that. But let's read on here. It says, "Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose ye this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the god of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as far as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I hope we can have that kind of determination, decree in our own hearts. "And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, He that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will also serve the Lord, for He is our God." You know, brothers and sisters, we find here again the scriptures, and just speaking a little bit about the word and pondering the things of God. But this is the word of God. So oftentimes you hear me say that when we read the Bible, we're reading it historically. And there's nothing wrong with that, to have an historical understanding of a chronological order of the scriptures and the word of God. And you could look back. The Bible said these things are here for us examples. And we look at what the patriarchs of old and the forefathers and different ones done. We find their great exploits and positive things that they conquered. And we look at that as an example. But we also look and see failures that they've made and brought forth hardships to nations and people and lands. So oftentimes we think in such a way of our households or our own selves and seeking after our own soul. But many times we look at things this way. We could also look at it in a perspective of a nation and in also of a world. Sometimes there's things that we call significant. We say that have even great significance, to have something to do with the mind of God in the earth. And it could be in a little church over in Sophia, North Carolina, with a small number of people, but there could be something taking place there that would have a significance to the global aspect of the entire world. And people say, I don't know. Well, read in your Bibles. Many times it was one man and the act of one man that saved the whole world. Sometimes we miss God. We don't see the importance of what He's doing. You know, brothers and sisters, when God does something in your life and it's you all alone, maybe in your prayer closet or out, maybe in a wilderness somewhere by yourself and praying and seeking the Lord, and something that by the move of the Spirit comes in your life, and you can think, well, that's not much. It could be a great significance to you because it could be for your soul, but it could be something that's happening in a global perspective. Do you know that this change that we're talking about, the transfiguration of the body, the church uses the term rapture, and this great rapture, don't you know that it is going to be a collective thing and it's going to take place in a many-membered body collectively around this whole world? So it would be very significant to you if your body's changed in that moment and that twinkling of an eye. You see, but sometimes we go through life and we're not seeing the significance of the things that are taking place around about us. And we walk in blindness. Well, here as we read this morning, we read the scriptures about the God of our fathers. You know, and we look back and we think about the Lord God, and He is one. But then yet, in American Christianity, we might say, or the religions of America, we speak about the gods of India and how they have so many gods. They say, well, they got over 100,000 gods there. In some of the stores, they allow a cow to walk right in. Nobody pushes him out or runs him out of the marketplace. Could you imagine going downtown Archdale and somebody's cow got loose and just walks in and they don't touch him, and he just grazes, eats anything he wants, and just lets him have his way in the market? See, that's inconceivable to you, but you see in their mind it's a god. And you think, well, that's so foolish. But then yet, brothers and sisters, there's so many gods in America, and we make them and we establish them. We look back into the Old Testament for allegories and things. We say, man, those children, you know, of Israel, those Hebrews, I can't even imagine them taken after they see the great miracles of God. You know, they see this water build up on the sides and go, and they go across on dry ground, and then they see it consume and swallow up the Egyptians, and they think, man, they see these kind of things. Then they go make a golden god to worship. And you think, how foolish. I can't believe that people would be so ignorant to do such a thing. As you've heard me say at times of Esau, and you think, how foolish could a man be to sell his birthright for a bowl of stew, we may say. And you think how foolish that is. But then yet, what are Americans doing? What are the people of America doing? And what kind of God are they serving? We spoke here in this church when we read in the scriptures of the unknown God that Paul spoke about at Ephesus. Could we be guilty of having an unknown God? Brothers and sisters, one of the biggest and the most major gods in America. You say, well, it would be the Lord Jesus. We're a Christian nation. Well, yes, brothers and sisters, many people use his name and profess his name, but their heart is far from him. They have a form of godliness denying the power thereof. But brothers and sisters, we got colleges. Every city and every state's got universities and things. And they built big, beautiful places. We go downtown right here in High Point. It's got a beautiful college. They just put a new fence around it, and it looks very good. But they've made these things a god in our land, in our country. The colleges. And you say, well, I don't see that. I know, because you're blind and you don't see it. They're making it mandatory. They're pushing everything where you must have this kind of an education. We all got to see eye to eye. We can't break rank. We can't pierce each other through. We all got to have these same degrees. We all got to push after this. They're making it where you can't get a job in this land unless you have a high school education. It wasn't that way not many years back. Are you against education, preacher? No, that's what I'm trying to do this morning. I'm trying to educate you. Why would I be against education? But there is a mind of man that wants preeminence. It's called the carnal mind, and it becomes a god. The Bible said the carnal mind is enmity with God. The Bible says the carnal mind is death. Why is it death, Brother Rob? Because it's the god of this world. It's the god that wants preeminence. It's the god that wants self-esteem. It wants to be better. You see, in the educational system, they want to give you degrees, and they start raising them up. And this one's better, and this one's better, and this one's better, and this one's better. He's got this degree. It's infiltrated our churches. The Bible's very clear on the requirements of a minister. He has to be one filled with the Holy Ghost. Very clear about that. It didn't say he had to have a doctor's degree. It didn't say he had to go through the school of man in theology and different things. I shared with you when I was with a denominational work, and they brought in a music minister, and it took him much time to introduce him and to read all of his education, about 8 years of college, master of music. I just think that's great. You know, they need to give honor to who honor's due, and I say yay and amen. I could say this before I go any farther. I appreciate men that feel like they got a calling in their life and seek after help and go to schooling and start applying themselves to learn the Word of God. I'm not against that, brothers and sisters. But many times their doctrines and things, I found over the years that many times after they got out of schooling, they were ruined and they had to be deprogrammed. See, I'm being nice. They needed devils cast out of them that they got filled with while they was in their seminary schools. I've witnessed this, brothers and sisters, over years and years. I could take and show you writings from doctors of theology that would make your skin crawl. Writings, have they come against the written Word of God? Writings that because they've come to this great achievement of a master's degree that they could rewrite the Bibles because they are more authority now than what the ones that wrote the Bible, and they're rewriting the Bibles and changing it. We got a very big following called the Jehovah's Witness in America. And this man exalted himself to such a great place, Charles Taze Russell, that he became smarter than the Bible and the Word of God. And that he told the people of his followers that he could read Greek and Hebrew and that he was a scholar and that he went in and rewrote the Bible, and they're still using this new translation. And he made many changes. But see, the people aren't smart enough to go over and get the manuscripts right out of New York State, where he was arrested for fraud. He couldn't even read the Greek alphabet. They gave him flashcards. He couldn't read Greek or Hebrew. But then yet, he changed the Word of God. He was arrested for fraud by the Department of Agriculture for selling a seed that would yield some multiplied more fold of wheat. He was a fraud. But people are still following after that doctrine. They have other gods. I had a Jehovah Witness. He was the elder and had one of his helpers with him, or two or three of them. Some of you brethren were there. We were getting ready to go out and do some exploits for the Lord. And they showed up at my home. And I spoke very straight to him. I said, sir, don't want to be rude to anybody. And if you invite them into your homes, they'll get you on a little dog and pony show, so to speak, and they'll say, well, turn over here. And you ask them a question, they would say, turn over here. It's something not at all what you ask. They're very skilled at getting you into their little web, we may say, to follow after them. There's some good people in that, brothers and sisters. I know the Bible says none good, but I'm talking about decent people in the perspective. They try to live clean lives. They try to be faithful to their churches. And some of you need to look at them for an example. They're out knocking on doors trying to share the good news of the gospel, even though they've denied the Lord Jesus. But they have at least a conviction of doing something for God. They don't know Jesus. They don't know Him nor serve Him. They don't believe in hell. They've got much problems. But as I told this man there, I said, look, sir, they always want to know what denomination you are because they've studied denominations. Then they feel like they've got something to come against you with. And they always have problems with me. I said, look, I'm a Christian. I remember one day I was in a meeting in California with about probably 20 or 30 of them. I guess they thought they was going to have a present day crucifixion, and they did. But one of them, they were trying to pin me down what I am, and I said, look, I'm a blood-bought, born-again Christian. He goes, oh, you're one of them born-againers, he said. And I said, yes, sir. The Bible says you must be born again to inherit the kingdom of God. But he thought, well, now I got him. Boy, he's a born-againer. I say, hallelujah, man. You can call me a born-againer all day long. Amen. Oh, we had a good time with them. They'd come into my home. They'd come in carloads. And I'd say, before we go into the Word, let's pray. They didn't like it. Well, a young man that I'd led to the Lord and stuff, he'd been dealing with the Jehovah's Witnesses. And he said, look, this guy said that either he's going to convert you into us or he's going to come over your way. And if you come to this meeting, I thought, oh my. So I went to the meeting. And here I saw a bunch of similar faces because they all came to my home. And I'm talking about carloads of them when I say carloads because I went into a home. I said, look, you go get the best that you've got and tell them that you're going over to a man's home that's possessed by God. I don't know why I said that, but they took the challenge and they showed up, carloads of them. But when I got over to this other meeting, which was a couple years later, I saw some of the same similar faces and they started in. And I said, wait a minute. I said, let's pray. And this man jumped to his feet and he said, you're not praying in my house. They didn't like it when I prayed because I took authority over demon spirits and they didn't like it. So I said, well, get one of your brethren to pray. And as he prayed, I prayed in the Holy Ghost. Amen. For God to strengthen and gird me up. Brothers and sisters, we're talking about unknown gods. Here's a people that claim to be, but they're serving an unknown God. And you say, are you picking on the Jehovah's Witnesses? Many of our Protestant churches, they'll go over and say, well, the cults in America are these Mormons and these Jehovah's Witnesses. Mormons got a lot of good doctrine. True stuff. Good stuff. One of the biggest problems that most of the Protestant churches have with the Mormon church is because they make themselves to be God. I'm not in agreement with their doctrines of gods, but I do believe in the doctrine that ye are gods because that's what the Bible teaches us. Mormons have some truths and they got some things that are crossed up. They got some biblical truths of a revelational truth, but they've crossed them up. There are celestial worlds that they believe that you'll go to and your skin gets darker and darker. We're talking about other gods this morning. But in the Mormon doctrines, it's been changed. When I studied it in depth in the early 80s, there was already 1,440 changes to the Book of Mormon. When I was a child, they didn't allow blacks to be presbyters in the church. That's been changed. There was many changes in their doctrines. They keep a lot of things in the veil. Speaking about things happening right here in your land, you know, because they're wanting to give the sodomites rights, let them marry and things like this. And the polygamists are saying, hey, you know, if they're going to do that, then we should be able to have two wives. So now New Hampshire's trying to pass a law that you can have two wives. We're talking about unknown gods, brothers and sisters. The Mormon church, they take and talk about these celestial bodies in these different places. And they got planets off out there, how you live on this life. A lot of people even go there, don't even understand their doctrines. It used to be back in the 80s, you had to be in their church for 7 years before they would unveil some of their doctrines. And there was some that got delivered and set free from demon spirits that came out and exposed a lot of the things. There's a book called The Temple of the Godmakers. The man that wrote it, his name was Walter Martin. He's got some really astounding things, but then yet the man's in gross error because he came against great men of God also. He made a ministry of going and destroying. Some of the things needed to be exposed, but then yet he was in error because of some of his Trinitarian doctrines. And he made a ministry of exposing cults. We've been considered a cult right here in Christian Temple because of some of the doctrines that I believe and teach. And you say, why would they consider you a cult, Brother Ron? I'm serving God, the one and true and the only God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my God and King and Lord. We give Him all preeminence. We worship and follow after Him. There's so often, brothers and sisters, that people, They want to number different people as cults because they don't understand. Some of the Protestant churches that are numbering the Mormons as a cult is some of the doctrines that they might have a truth in. Actually, I think sometimes some of their doctrines are closer, but they got some dimensions crossed up. Some of their teachings is Satan and Jesus were brothers, and Elohim is God. And that they made a decision which one was going to come to the earth as a sacrifice. There's some truths in their celestial worlds. The Bible said worlds without end. There's some truth in their skin color differentiation in Revelation, but not in making one man greater than another because of skin color. They're in gross error. They were in error to deny a black man a position as a minister. That was error. A black man full of the Holy Ghost becomes light. A white man without the Holy Ghost is black and dark. So it depends on what dimension you're differentiating your colors in and looking at them. When a man thinks because of his skin color he's better than another man, he's lost. Even though God uses skin color to bring forth allegories and to show things. The black man that's in office of the United States of America, there's an allegory there. Not because of his skin color, but there's an allegory there that's showing darkness has climbed up into the upper lintels of our government. When they came over from their heathen nation of Africa, they brought many gods with them, and they're still here present this day. As even as we had a black minister coming and minister in our church, said, "Thank you, United States, for sending evangelists and missionaries to our land to free us from the demon spirits and from the doctrines of such." But he goes, "I see a need now to come to America and get America free." You see, these other gods have climbed up into the upper lintels, brothers and sisters. We know the Bible teaches us that. We know that Satan is the god of this world. Just as we know that there's a many-membered body of the Lord Jesus Christ in the earth today. And when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're part of that many-membered body. And when you speak, it's no longer you speaking, but it's Christ speaking through you. Amen. This is what our Bible teaches so we could recognize and understand that Christ is still walking among men, still helping. Beware when you entertain strangers. Could be angels, unaware. You see, a stranger can come to you and give you a word. And you say, there ain't nothing to that. But it may be the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord dwells in me. And if it's no longer me speaking, it's the angel of the Lord speaking to you. And you could deny what I'm saying, reject what I'm saying, and reject the Lord himself. I say things to make a point, not to make you think I'm somebody. He's everything. But he loves you so much that he comes and walks among you and speaks to you. And you could be guilty of rejecting his word. You know, people think as we speak about the scripture, well, boy, wouldn't it have been so awesome to walk with Jesus and to hear him. But if you go back and look at the day that he walked among men and he spoke and he raised the dead and worked miracles and opened up blinded eyes and they still rejected him. When they got a report back that Lazarus was raised from the dead, the religious people of that day said, man, we're going to have to go get this man. We're going to have to get rid of him because we're going to lose our nation. You know, the Rome is going to come take our land and everything away from us because the people are going to follow after him. And that's what they did. They sought out to kill him and they fulfilled. You see, brothers and sisters, if you understand the mind of Revelation and the mind of God, the same thing's happening today. We read here in Joshua when it's talking about the God of the fathers, the God from the other side of the flood, the God from the other side coming out of Egypt. They're speaking of this God. And we see the great complications and problems. But brothers and sisters, that same God, the one that was in the garden deceiving the woman there, that same God, brothers and sisters, is working and the master of disguise and the master of deception. And that same God, the Bible said the ministers of Satan have transformed themselves into ministers of light. A minister of light? You see, brothers and sisters, there's other gods. It's easy for me to talk about the Mormons to you or the Jehovah Witness to you. But what if we start speaking about the Protestants? What if we start speaking about the Catholics? One of the biggest moves around the world. Do you realize how many thousands and millions upon millions of Catholics there are? I was listening to a message and Brother Pike said there's only one man in the world that could bring everybody together. He said only one. He said that's the Pope. He could stop wars. Don't you know that there's been countries at war together but they would have an Olympic Games and they would call a cease until after the Olympic Games? You see the gods that we're speaking of? Brothers and sisters, there are men in America that are worshiping these sports figures and make them gods. There are people that are worshiping these fallen angels that show themselves up in Los Angeles and Hollywood. They've made gods out of them. We could call ourselves Christians. We could speak in tongues and pray in tongues. We could feel the anointing of God. We can get the goosebumps and all that. And we could still be serving other gods. and worshiping foreign gods. Sometimes we take the scriptures and we pervert them. And we'll take a scripture and we'll take it out of perspective. And we'll feel that we have a right to worship another god. I've seen brothers and sisters in my own life. I've watched as I went through trying to find balance in many things. I would find myself possibly going in a perspective into a place that I was out of balance. I've shared many stories with you over years and time. And then when I would find myself out of balance, sometimes the adjustments come down and went too far the other way. There's people that say, working with a church, the man came to preach in a church and they said, let's give the brother a hand as they were calling him forth. And he said he almost walked out the door. It offended him. The Bible says to give honor to who honor's due and double honor to them that labor in the Lord and minister the gospel. But then yet he's indoctrinated his people into such a way and they're offended. The Bible said, you know, if eating meat offends your brother, then don't eat meat. And sometimes we got to learn customs of other people that we don't bring offense to them. There's a balance. I had a woman come into the church, an old Pentecostal woman. And she said, I know that preacher ain't got the Holy Ghost because I was wearing a wedding ring. You say, well, what a wretched woman. No, maybe I ought to consider and examine. And I prayed and thought about it. We don't exploit jewelry and a bunch of things, but in this nation, it shows a man's married man. No, truthfully speaking, brothers and sisters, I say that I think that it's more of offense not to. Then yet, I want to reach those kind of people. And this woman had found fault and spoke and said, that man don't have the Holy Ghost. She was in adultery at the very time that she spoke that, and her husband was also. And their marriage was busted up, both of them filthy, but wants to find fault with a man of God. But see, I'm speaking of balance. So somebody say, well, I'll go ahead and get the earrings and I'll go ahead and put the necklaces on and I get the bracelets and all that kind of stuff. I don't see nothing wrong with that. When the Bible teaches us very clearly that it's wrong. A woman can't project her image. When they paint themselves up, it's projection. When they put gold and array themselves with all the necklaces and all the pearls and all the diamond stuff, it's a projection spirit is what the Bible teaches us. And the woman's to be shamefaced. That means they don't project their image. We can go into so many things there. The Bible said when a man lusts after a woman, that he committeth adultery. So a woman doesn't need to be projecting herself out there to make men lust after because men lose their soul. And heathen is going to lust after anything. But still, we got to do our part to make an effort to dress as becoming holiness is what our Bible teaches us. Bible teaches us an abomination for a woman to wear men's apparel. An abomination. You see, but we're in a church world in America today that they teach that holiness is an inward work. They're right. And that God looks on the heart. And they're in trouble. Because man's heart's continually evil and wicked. And when man God looks on the heart, they're in trouble. But he said, present your body, soul, and your spirit holy. Body, soul, and spirit. We got to present all, everything unto the Lord. We're talking about foreign gods, brothers and sisters. And there's a God in America, and they use the same name Jesus that we use. But he's not the same God. You say, are you sure about that? They'll read maybe some of the same scriptures out of the Old Testament bringing him forth. That's speaking about him, showing the shadows of him. When you read the Old Testament, you see like Joseph, he was showing the life of Jesus and bringing that forth and showing those things. And the thing is we come over and we find that they're using the same scriptures, but it's a different Jesus than what you and I serve. What Jesus do you serve, Brother Rob? You might be frightening me a little bit. Are you serving the God that we read about in the New Testament Bible, Jesus Christ? I say, yes, I am. I know, but they're reading the New Testament Bible also. I wonder what Bible Satan was quoting to Jesus. Did it make him right? You see, brothers and sisters, they could use a King James Bible and they could read the New Testament and they could talk about a Jesus, but it's a different Jesus than I serve. And I preach out of a King James Bible and I teach about Jesus in there and that's the God that I serve. And you say, I don't understand what you're saying because some believe a lion are damned. Some are blind and blind leaders of the blind. And they've got a different Jesus. I know I've said this in times past, but some of them have a Jesus that married Mary Magdalene. It's a common teaching in churches, even around here. A common teaching that Jesus had an affair with Mary Magdalene, had a child. It's not my Jesus. Even though his teaching, it was okay for a minister to have a wife, one wife. It's what the Bible teaches. Jesus could have came and had a wife and not violated the scriptures. But would it have violated the revelation of why he came? He came to bring forth a seed, not from the loins of man, because he didn't come from that seed, from the loins of man. And he came to bring forth another seed. And when he saw this thing in Peter, and he said this was revealed from heaven, he was seeing that his work was being fulfilled and taking place. We could get into a lot here this morning, and we could start talking about these different covenants. There was a water covenant that was violated in the garden, and the water covenant had to be done away with, and that's why they had blood shed there. Then there was a blood covenant introduced right there in the garden when the animals were killed, and they took and put skins on them. They had to have another covering. The fig covering was a violation. It wasn't accepted by God. He said, "You're naked." You see, because that covenant had been violated, and then a blood covenant came in, and the blood covenant was finished over at Calvary when Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice, took the beastly image of man to the cross and it was crucified, and the blood went out of his body. The corruption was in the blood. His blood wasn't corruptible blood because it didn't come through the loins of man. But he showed us the Son of Man, and he took that punishment, and the blood went out. And there was a new covenant that was given forth. There was a covenant of the Spirit. Cain tried to bring a sacrifice to God after the fall, and it was from the fruit of the ground, and it wasn't accepted. And it grieved him so bad that he murdered his brother. But his brother bought a sacrifice. It was of blood, because that was the expected sacrifice that time. And Jesus came fulfilling that and finished it. And now it comes into another covenant in spirit. This is why the church is in error when they keep pleading the blood of Jesus. We thank God for the blood of Jesus. Our sins were taken away and atoned for, and we've passed from death unto life. We've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus. But the Bible teaches us very clearly, brothers and sisters, that we cannot take and continue to plead the blood for willful sin. It said there remaineth no more sacrifice for that. It's very clear in the scriptures, and this is the problem. You see, when we go back to the Catholic Church, I say they take them into the confession booth. "Oh, Father, for we have sinned." And he says, "Well, count your beads, say your Hail Marys, whatever." And we find fault with that as Protestants. But then yet the Protestants are doing the same thing. They got the deacon been saved 17 times. Every revival meeting, the same deacon comes into the altars and they plead the blood of Jesus and pray for him. And he's been just doing nothing but willful sin. And he knows it's wrong to drink, to snort, to lie, and to cheat. He knows it's wrong in morality and filth. And he keeps doing that, and the preachers come in and they lay hands on him, say, "Oh God, cleanse him with the blood." They're in error. It's gross error. There's another sacrifice. That scares people. "You're doing away with the blood of Jesus." "No, I'm here because of the blood of Jesus. All the unseen things of the spirit world revealed by the things will appear when a woman has a child. The blood seed enters in. And the child comes forth in a water womb. And then that bag breaks. That child comes forth. There's blood there. And thanks. And it shows another thing. But then that life comes in. That child is no longer dependent upon that placenta and that umbilical cord and the things that brought it in. It shows a progression. And it's the same thing with our life. Yes, we've got to come through the blood of Jesus. It's the only way. That's the door. It's the way. Jesus is the door. The only one. He is our salvation. We got to come through that door. But when we've come through that door and through that bloodshed of the Lord Jesus, we enter into a spiritual covenant. And in the spirit covenant, brothers and sisters, we can't sin. You cannot sin. Sin was done away with in that spirit covenant. There is no sin there. We got scripture for it. The Bible says, "Ye that are born of God cannot sin." The church says you're a cult because you teach that. It doesn't mean that we go off and continue to live like dogs and devils and we just can't sin. If we're living like dogs and devils, we're sinners. The church world teaches that you're a sinner and you sin every day. That's a lie out of hell. That's not biblical doctrine. I was a sinner born into sin, and it was appointed on me to die. But I'm no longer a sinner. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. That old sin nature's passed away. All things have become new. I'm a new creature in Christ. I'm hid away with him, sealed in. As I was teaching on the catching away. We've already been caught away, hid away with him. But what you see is the vanity, it's the lie. No, this body hasn't been changed yet. Even though I transformate it and bring it to a change of obedience by marriage, just like a woman's got to line up with the husband and come one with him, I've got to bring this as the bride of Christ, and I got to bring it upright and line up with Jesus and walk in him, that the people of this world could see light being formed within the darkness of this first birth, that they could see Christ, that they could see the love of God and righteousness walking upright. I brought it out to you, and I told you the earth tilted on its axis, wobbling around through space, got the seasons and everything all out of order. But this earth will come upright because it has to do with the earth. This has to do with the earthen vessel. This comes upright, brothers and sisters, by the Holy Ghost, by bringing us righteousness and bringing the Spirit of God in. We bring it upright, walking in righteousness and holiness, and we bring it upright. This earth is going to snap back upright on its axis before the millennium. And it's going to change things. It's going to be very fertile and rich place during the millennium. It's going to be totally different than what it is right now. Totally different. But see, this, I see all these allegories will line up. Everything has an order in God, and it's got to fit perfectly in the order. And this is sometimes why we could look into your life and see it's not fitting the order of God. And it's not God wrong. It's that you're wrong, and you got to make changes and things in your life to fit into the order of God. This is why I say some of them that use the same name of the same God that I serve, they use the same name, but they're not fitting into the order of His Word. And they're denying His Word. And they use His name, but their heart is far from Him. You know, we could make all the church world bad. It don't make us any better. A lot of people think because you could expose the wrong and other things, it makes you better. No, it makes you accountable. That's why the Bible says, judge not lest you be judged, because the same judgment that you judge unto them, that you bring that judgment to yourself. And they take that and say, well, we can't judge. But that's not what the Scriptures teach at all. But if you're judging me for being a drunk and you're a drunk, you just brought judgment to yourself because you know it's wrong. That's all it's teaching you. Is that when you could judge me and say that it's wrong, then you brought that judgment to yourself, because if you know it's wrong for me, you know it's wrong for you too. People don't understand judgment. They don't understand God anymore. They got an unknown God. An unknown God. The Jesus Christ. If I would say to you, and by differentiation this morning, trying to help you understand what I'm saying, I say, okay, we know that the Catholics, and we're Protestant, we protested against this Catholicism and Catholic doctrine, so we come out, but we say, well, they're still talking about the same God. But they made another God. They got a God named Mary, which is recognized, and we understand that she is blessed, according to the Bible, and she'll be remembered through all generations. But we don't pray to her. That makes her a God when we pray to her. It is error to pray to her. There's only one God, brothers and sisters, that is a mediator, and that's Jesus Christ and Him alone. He is the one that carries our petitions to the Father. Amen. There's no other way. There's no other door. Amen. They say that she's the mother of God, and He had no mother nor father. If she was the mother of God, we could worship her, man, because she'd be greater than Him before Him. But He has no beginning nor no end. So now we're talking about they read the same Bible, but see, it's a different Jesus. I know you have troubles with that. Brothers and sisters, they make another God. Some of them have a Jesus that's a sodomite. Some of them have a Jesus that's married. Some of them have a Jesus that's married unto them. He's married unto me. Why is He married unto me? Because He cleansed me and washed me with His blood and made me pure without spot, wrinkle, and blemish and married me. Amen. But there's others that are teaching that they are the body of Christ, and they continue to live in sin, and they continue to call themselves a sinner, and they continue to sin every day, and they say that nobody's perfect. But my Bible says, be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven and Master is perfect. And He teaches us that He perfected us once and for all. But they say that they're not perfect, and that means that God married this imperfection. See, it's a different God. The Bible said two can't walk together lest they be in agreement. And if you marry a harlot, it says that you become a harlot. That's what the Bible said. So if I'm living in adultery and fornication, the Bible teaches me that I'm a harlot. And if Jesus is married unto me, it makes Him one. That's what I'm saying. Some of their Jesus is a pervert. And some of them have sodomites. It's not the same Jesus. Don't ever think I'd speak against my Lord and King. I'm just telling you about what they teach and what they say. We got to stay right with the Scriptures. We've got examples here in the Old Testament of even them. And they find that they went to other gods. And we find it all through time, serving other gods and making gods. A day of the Lord's 1,000 years. And we find over in the sixth, He's making man in the sixth day. And then we come over here and we find that it's been 6,000 years and man has been making a god. They've been making God. This way we want our God to be. The education systems that I started out speaking about, the colleges and things, they become gods. You can't get a job unless you come to this God. I know they don't call it that way, but they've made them God. And they've made it preeminent in a mind of education. I remember sharing this with you. We was in the office one day. We had several large aircraft sitting out on the ramp. And I was usually out there on the side of an airplane working on an engine or doing something. But it was over in the office. And I'd already started off in the career of aviation, flying and training and different things and aviation mechanics and stuff. And one of Dad's business partners is there. He goes, Howard, he said, you need to send your son to college like my boys. He said, he needs to go get him a good college education. Well, one of his college boys was home for the summer. That same afternoon, we was out working on an airplane. He had one of them van front ends with the big box over the top. He decided to park underneath our airplane wing. And I know you're going to think I'm making mockery of college and education, but I mean, here was the college-educated boy that I'm supposed to be like, and he comes, drives up under an airplane, and just smashes in the whole back of the wing. And I thought, yep, there's our college education. I could go on. I'm not mocking education and college. I think it's wonderful. But I could tell you so many people, because they had to have a college education, that are selling beer over here at 7-Eleven and Circle K with their college education. That's not the answer. There's too many college-educated people. That's not the answers. I'm not against education. If you're seeking after some career to take some sort of an application to your learning and understanding and you go press, I ask college kids all the time. I've run into them out here talking to folks and something. What are you taking? I don't know yet, but I'm just supposed to get a college degree. Yeah, and they'll come back with a degree of harlotry and sluts and all that other stuff. Oh, come on, Brother Rom. I've shared testimonies with you. I was a heathen when I was a kid. And in high school, and when I started off an aviation career, I was still a heathen. Went off down to the college town that was 25 miles from my hometown to go over. You know, hey, they're having a party up here. And I go to these college parties and see these Christian boys that I raised up with. And I knew them from school. And they never was at the high school parties. They were never at those kind of things. They kept themselves clean. But no, moms and dads sent them off to college. And guess where they was at? At the college parties. Guess where their little daughters were at? They was at the college dorms with boys, yes. And you say, well, that's not all because of education. When you tell me what it's from. Oh, but they got to have an education, so we're going to send them off. You got to think this way. You got to be politically correct. Our colleges are filthy. They're perverted. Our high schools are filthy and they're perverted. Our Christian schools in America are more filthy and more perverted because they're perverting the Word of God. And that makes them more filthy. As I said the other day, when you go out to the pig pen, it's supposed to smell like hogs and pigs and swines. We're talking about foreign gods. We're talking about you this morning. I don't have no foreign god. I know all the ones that are serving foreign gods, they'll say the same thing. I'm serving Jesus. I love the Lord God. But it's like the message Brother Jesse preached a couple Sundays ago. He said, examine yourselves. I could come examine Andy. I could examine Brother Jonathan, Brother Troy. I could examine y'all. Boy, and I could see, boy, yeah, this and that. But what about examining me? I know that some are so skilled to judge. And judgment, I think, man, if they could bring that judgment themselves, man, they would do some great strides, boy, in the things of God. I mean, they would go somewhere with God if they could learn to judge their own selves. This message is made this day for a reason. For if we look into the scriptures and we find examples and things of others following other gods, and I could bring it into a present day and talk about those churches all around the country, and they're split up and we got so many denominations because this one believes this way and this one believes that way. And many times it's the truth, but it's been perverted and taken into a lie. When you get amongst the Baptist circles, Calvinism, some of them say, I don't believe in that Calvinism. I just ain't in agreement with it. Well, I'm not either. But it started out being a truth. Because when you're born of God, once saved is always saved. The doctrine of backsliding is not New Testament doctrine. The Bible said when they go out from you in the New Testament, it's to made manifest, they was never of you. No, they didn't backslide. They was just never of you. It was a form of wheel worship. The rain comes on the just and the unjust. Oh, but they preached a mighty message. And the Bible said, I cast out devils in your name. I laid hands on the sick and they recovered. I prophesied. He said, I never. He didn't say, I knew you one time, but I don't know you no more. He said, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Depart from me. He never knew him. Never had that marriage relationship with them. That's the knowing. He knew every number of hair on their head. He knew how many breaths went in and out their lungs. He knew how many times their heart beat. Even though they said they had one wife, he knew how many wives they really had. He knew everything about them. But he said, I never knew you. He never was married unto them. Never knew them. That's not an uncommon situation in our day and hour. I had a man put his finger in my face right down here in High Point. And he said, brother, he said, you're going to stand the judgments of God for teaching people they can't backslide. Isaac could tell him what the Bible said. He said, the Bible teaches that he's married unto the backslider and he's healed their backsliding. If I'm going to teach backsliding, I guess I'm going to have to teach sin. I teach by the Spirit of God. We're in another covenant. We're in the Spirit now. That doesn't mean that we just got this license to go off and live like dogs and devils and live however we want. Oh, praise God, we can't sin. We're born of God. Hallelujah. He put our sin as far as east is from the west. Give me another snort. Give me another joint. Give me another woman. Give me another man. Whatever. No, it don't work that way. It's whoever you yield your members to or who you are of. Who are you yielding to? That's your God. Who are you yielding to? Your God might be your own self. My Bible teaches that if you can't hate your own self, then you can't know God. And some people are so in love with themselves, brothers and sisters. I know there's some doctrine in there. And we can go over to Ephesians. It said a man loveth himself and he need to love his wife. I understand this, why the Bible says line upon line and precept upon precept. But brothers and sisters, your own self will lead you to destruction. Your own self, brothers and sisters, will destroy you. I remember making a statement. We're talking about foreign gods and stuff, and we talk about people going for degrees. And man, I'm a master degree or doctor's degree of Scientology, you know, studied science. I'm a master of astrology or whatever, studying the stars and different things and whatever. But I said, everybody's in a college course right now to get a degree and a master's degree of ideology, studying their own ideas. I hear Christian people say it all the time. Well, I got to ponder on it. I got to study on it. I got to think about it. And they work in their mind and they think and they get it all reasoned out. There was a woman named Eve that started that over there in about the third chapter of Genesis. And let me think about, hey, it is kind of nice looking. It is pleasing to the eye. Hey, it does look like it's edible. Hey, maybe I could just partake of this thing. And also while she's studying out, believed a lie. There's so oftentimes, brothers and sisters, that we study things out in the carnal mind, the mind of death, instead of pondering on it in the mind of God. There's another mind. We got to make sure that when this thing's clicking up here, it's the mind of the Lord. And that takes discernment. As I had a man come to me, and I was teaching him about the three minds, the mind of God, the mind of Satan, and the mind of man. He says, look, I do all my thinking. He said, I make decisions where I go, when I'm going to go. I do everything. I'm running this show. I'm taking care of this now. He just proved to me that the mind of the devil was very much there because it had him lost. Christians don't speak like that. I'm a servant of God. I'm the bride of Christ. I'm married unto him. I've got to come into his mind. It's his will be done, not mine. I'm denying myself. I'm mortifying my thoughts, my ideas, my wants, my desires, and I'm pleasing my God. I'm his servant. I go where he says to go. I do what he says to do. You say, what a terrible life. I've done tried the other one out. I've tried Satan as a husband. I've tried Satan as my father. I've walked with him and fellowshipped him, and I know it's no good. I've seen what he's got to offer. I've seen his ignorance. That's how come I can help to understand the light. I've done seen what the dark side's got to offer. What we call pleasure, what we call good, what we call fun out there in the world. It ain't no good. It ain't no fun. The Bible says it'll bring pleasure for a season. Should I go into some examples? Oh man, but I love women and this and that. Boy, man, we had a great time. Oh man, brother, you wouldn't believe how good of a time we had. And when you were diagnosed with AIDS and watch your flesh and start consuming off the bone and start watching yourself, then tell me about how great of a time. And then when you find yourself burning in eternal damnation in the fire of hell, tell me how great of a time. Brothers and sisters, there's spears on every move of life. We got to conquer them. We got to war against them. You know, you could say, well, you know, maybe you just don't understand. I understand. Jesus understood them all. He dealt with every single one of them. Every single spirit that perplexes mankind today, God had to take victory over that and conquer it and put it under his feet. And we could do the same today. What is the spirit that's perplexing you? What is it, brothers and sisters, that's perplexing you? See, we've been indoctrinated in the mind of man, and there's demon spirits that'll take you, but the whole world will pick you up. Oh, he's a great entrepreneur, a great businessman. Man, he's supporting himself and sharing and helping others. Oh, he's the one. And it's nothing but exalting the devil and demon spirits when the man needs to break before God and say, God, have mercy on me, I'm a sinner. See, sometimes, brothers and sisters, we make deacons in our churches because they're good businessmen and they know how to operate in the realms of finances. And they're running America and the churches of America, and it's there. The Bible said they must be full of the Holy Ghost. That's the qualification. A Holy Ghost-filled man is going to be led by the Spirit of God. That's what needs to be leading the churches in our country. Demon spirits are real. The devil is real. The Bible says that you could believe a lie and be damned. We're going to have to start learning that we're in another covenant, which I didn't have time to expound on it this morning, but the covenant is spirit. You see, we go back and we look at the finishing of the blood covenant and Jesus come in and the miracles and the things he was doing was in a physical perspective because he was showing the authority and the power over that and the dominion over the physical man and over the blood world and the blood life. We stepped into another dimension and spirit. The church world, he said, I'm afraid of you if you're seeking after a sign. And people are wanting to follow after the miracles and the signs. And yes, we have authority still in that same dimension. But that's not what's important to God. There's people that have eyesight, but they're blind. The Bible talks about the Laodicean church. I say so, and they're blind, they're miserable, and they're naked. But they call themselves the move of God in this day and hour. They have no need of God because they're rich. The Lord said that we'll do greater things than what he has done. That's what he said, that we will do greater things. You say, Lazarus came forth out of the grave, Brother Rob. Have you done anything as great as that? He took and created eyeballs and put them in a man out of mud and spittle. Have you done anything such as that? Talitha was laying dead, called her forth. Have you done anything as great as that, Brother Rob? Well, brothers and sisters, I could say this, that I can't do anything. But the miracle-working God is still working and moving in me. And I become one with him. And he's still doing the great exploits and greater things today. You won't see it unless you're in the Spirit. You've heard me say this so oftentimes, I'll say it again to make the point this morning. You could take a man that's in a wheelchair. You could take a man that they had to carry him in a bed and lay hands on him. And he gets up and dances and shouts and goes out the door and he goes right back into the world. He might have been in that condition. The Bible said if your hands offend you, to cut them off. That you're better off to enter into the kingdom of God maimed as going to hell with all of your hands, feet. If your eyes offend you, pluck them out. You're better off to enter into the kingdom of God blind as having your eyesight that offends God. You see, we think wrong. This is what the Bible teaches. So the thing is that a man could receive his sight, he could receive the ability to walk, he could do those things and march right off into the world and lose his soul. And what have you done? Maybe in their affliction they're worshiping God. Maybe in their affliction, as Paul sought the Lord for the infirmity in his flesh, and he said, my grace is sufficient. So it's because of much revelation. I could take into some New Testament teaching and some Old Testament teaching. That God brought many of the afflictions and those things to show his strength and his power. Let's read on just a little bit more and I'll look for a place to close here promptly. Let's go all the way back up to 16. We'll just go there. It says, and the Lord answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land, therefore, and will also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is an holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins if you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods. Then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that ye hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and a ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote those words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was always by the sanctuary of the Lord. We go back and read in the Old Testament. We look at great men of God. We know what Joshua represented, led the people across the Jordan. I represent the same thing today, and there still is just as much as a need today to cross the Jordan as there was at this particular time. You could say, well, I'm not sure if I understand what you're saying, Brother Rom. Well, I could say that you still may be in the wilderness of wondering, in religious ideology and fleshly mind and fleshly thoughts. Yes, you may have been out there in the wilderness, and yes, you might have saw some manna come down out of the heavens. You may have partaken of the water that come forth out of the rock. But then yet, as we look back there, and then we saw some of the elders that were not following and worshiping the Lord, that they had a care and a love for the things of the world, and the world opened up and consumed them, swallowed them up, thousands. And it's the same thing today, brothers and sisters. We're bringing you a word of God. And you have to partake of it and eat thereof. And you've got to cross the Jordan. But when you eat, sometimes you could come into the second heaven realm, which has to do with the wilderness and the soul realm and the second heaven. And you enter into that realm and you're partakers of the things of God. But you're also still partakers of the things of the flesh and of the world. And it will swallow you up and consume you and eat you alive. And you'll be consumed just as the ground opened up. Your earthen vessel will open up and swallow you up and destroy you. Through carnality, the carnal mind is death. We've got to cross the Jordan into Canaan. We got to come through the door that's prepared and open in heaven. You understand there was a door open for them to cross into Canaan land, but they wandered around in a wilderness. Some took their inheritance on that side, and there's some taking their inheritance on the other side. You see, brothers and sisters, there was a time of the water covenant. It was violated. Then there was a blood covenant made. Jesus came and finished it. He said, "It's finished." And we come through the blood covenant to enter into the spirit covenant. And in the spiritual covenant, brothers and sisters, we can't continue to offer the blood covenant. Just as the water covenant was denied, when we go into the Old Testament doctrine and the water covenant was denied there, Adam and Eve tried it first. And then Cain tried it. It didn't work. It was the man bloodshed all the way through the Old Testament because it was a physical time and a blood covenant. We're in a spirit covenant now. The way it brought us in the spirit was to shed blood. That's the only way you can get there. I'm not doing away with the blood of the Lord Jesus. It was a covenant that was finished and filled, and it brought us into the Spirit. This is why the Bible said we must pray in the Spirit. We must walk in the Spirit. We must fellowship Him in the Spirit. You see, it's a spirit covenant. Paul said, "I want to speak unto you as unto spirituals, but I find you yet carnal." You see, we have to enter into a spirit covenant now. And when you enter into the spirit covenant, you're led by the Spirit. And when you stumble and stagger, when you fall away, you get back up. It's not imputed. The Bible said, "Blessed is the man who God does not impute sin." The Bible said, "Some men's sins go before and some after you that your sins go after have not stepped into the spirit covenant." And your sins will go after and you'll stand guilty before the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be cast into eternal damnation. Again, in that book I wrote on the doctrine of water, blood, and spirit, baptism, speaking of baptisms, we get into a little bit of teaching on that, and there's some scriptural references there. Maybe it'll help you if you're having troubles understanding. This morning I've taken much time over weeks and months or years to expound more so on some of those things, just touching on it now. And even in that little booklet, I wanted to keep it simple and short, and I just kind of touched on it, but gives a little bit of scripture reference. You have to pray to come into the mind of Christ, the mind of revelation. Pray that God would grant you revelation and understanding, that you can understand these things. The Catholic Church has to do with shedding of blood. It's in a wilderness. It's another covenant. There's been a lot of bloodshed from Catholicism. Their doctrines are error. They forbid these priests and things to marry. The Bible talks about it in 1 Timothy 4, talks about in forbidden marriage, speaking as cults. And then the men go off into the filth. The Bible says it's better for a man to marry is to burn in lust and passions. That's why there's so much filth and immorality in the Catholic Church. It's because of demon spirits. If you can understand the need, you can go and read in Hebrews 6 and it'll help you to understand. It said there remaineth no more sacrifice of the blood for willful sin. It said it is impossible, is what it says in Hebrews. It is impossible. It is impossible once you've been enlightened in this spirit world and of these heavenly things, that if you go off into willful sin, that there be any sacrifice for that sin. It says you have one thing to look forward to, and that's the fiery indignation of God. We break that down into two different perspectives. The fiery indignation to me is what John the Baptist was speaking about. He said, "One comes after me that I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes, but he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire." That fire purges out the things and makes you pure and clean. Now, I'm talking about today, brothers and sisters. That's where that fits. It's today. It's the fire that's purging and cleaning us now in the Spirit. The fiery indignation of God to the heathen is not the fire of the Holy Ghost purging their sin away. The fiery indignation to them is going to be cast into the lake of fire. So it's speaking to both perspectives. Where are you? Who are you? Where's your inheritance? Who's your Father? I hope you have the Spirit crying, "Abba, Father," in you. Amen, and I believe you do. I love you and appreciate you. Not wanting to just offer exhortation today. These are things that we could really truly watch and help and examine. And be careful what we're fellowshipping. We think that we have this right because, you know, we're Christian. We just fellowship anybody and everything. But again, the Bible says two cannot walk together lest they be in agreement. When a man numbers himself with a harlot, he's a whore. You don't have no right in nowhere in Christianity because of the blood of Jesus or because of this spirit world or anything to number yourself with a whore or a harlot. You don't have that right. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, if two walk together, they're in agreement. So if I walk with the Catholics, I'm in agreement with their doctrine. I'm just telling you the Bible. Brother Pike on a message the other day was speaking. He said Billy Graham and the Pope walked together doing some exploits together. He said, what does that make Billy Graham? He said, oh no, brother, makes him Catholic. He said, I don't believe that. Well, go read some of his teachings. He said he don't think it's necessary to believe in the virgin birth. He said in his own writings, he said he doesn't know if hell is literal or not. And this is a great Billy Graham. That's all right. He's in the same blindness and darkness as the Pope. He said, you need to be careful, preacher. This man's well known all around the world. Just because somebody's well known don't make him right. Charles Taze Russell was well known around the world too. He wasn't right. Matter of fact, when they arrested him, on one of the occasions, they proved that he wasn't in some of the countries that he had pictures and said that he was in. It's the founder. I told that man that day to finish that little story when we met him on the deck and some of the brethren was there. I said, I'm a blood-bought, born-again Christian. And I said, my Savior's tomb is empty. He's resurrected. And I said, your man and your founder is a liar and a fraud. And I said, he's rotten in the grave. Boy, you're rude, Brother Rob. Well, it's rude to go around the countryside and perverting people into false doctrine and error. My founder is Jesus. He's my God, my King, my Lord, my salvation. He is everything. Amen. I thank God again for the ministers and the patriarchs of old that have come in and shown examples and plowed the fields and made a way for us. I honor them and I thank God for them. But brothers and sisters, you need to get a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's too many people that could tell you what the great exploits of great men of God all around the country, but they don't have no great exploits in themselves as an overcoming life in Jesus Christ. We need to have a power of the Holy Ghost living in us. We need to walk as overcomers. We need to be unspotted from the things of this world. We need to have good name, brothers and sisters. Do you have a good name within? Are you numbered amongst the brethren of a man that walks in righteousness and holiness and virtue? Are you one that keeps yourself unspotted from the affairs and the things of the world? It's getting close, brothers and sisters. Examine yourself and see if you be in the faith. Stand together with me. I love people, brothers and sisters, and I know that everybody doesn't walk in the same convictions and the same thoughts and feelings and understand. We work with people. We love them and help them, lead them, guide them, direct them the best we can. Help me. Pray for me. I want to be a soul winner, brothers and sisters. I want best for people. And when I see people walking below their privileges in Christ and below the things that God has given them, I have a burden for them to help them, to teach them, to lead them, and to help them to get their eyes opened. Some people come and they hear the word and they hear the preacher. He sounds emotional. He sounds about half crazy, this and that. But all I could say is when I was in the world and when you drank with them, you got stupid with them and ignorant with them and you didn't see it because you was one with them. And the thing is when you come into church like that, maybe you haven't drank of what I've been drinking of. Take a drink. It's good. It's satisfying. It'll make you go out of your mind. I'll promise you that. It'll make you lose your mind. I promise you that. Amen. If you try to save your mind, you're in bad shape. You need to lose it for Jesus. Pray that He grant His mind to you, that you could come to think like He thinks. You'll have to mortify and kill out your thinking, because the way you think is contrary to the way God thinks. So come into the mind of Christ that's contrary to your mind and start thinking in the mind of the Lord Jesus. Let's sing a song or two. The altars are open this morning. Praise you, Lord Jesus.
He is my everything.
I hope as you sing that, that God is truly your everything. I hope your career isn't your everything. I hope your children and grandchildren, your wife and your husband isn't your everything. If you make Him your everything, He'll make those wives and children and grandchildren and careers, He'll make them rich and full and beautiful and clean. And He'll bless you in your going. He'll bless you in your coming. He'll bless you in everything that you do when you make Him your everything. I'll tell you, He's an awesome God. You won't lack in any realm, any perspective. He'll raise you up. He'll make you strong. He'll keep your health. make you prosper. He's an awesome God. Fall in love with Jesus and serve Him. Worship Him and praise Him. We love you, Jesus. You are our King and our Lord and our God. You're our salvation. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I hope that He is your everything. If He's not making Him your everything this morning, if you're a wife and you have a good husband, make Jesus your husband this morning. And He'll make you a better wife. Hallelujah. I feel the Spirit of the Lord. Can you feel God this morning? God loves you. I hope your testimony that He's in you and through you, and that you're one with Him, that He's given you everything that pertaineth unto life. He's given you salvation. I pray that every ear that heard today, Lord God, that they could take heed to the things that they hear. Lord God, that any time they will not let it slip, Lord God. Father, strengthen us and fill us with Your Spirit, Your power, and Your Holy Ghost, Lord God, that we can go forth, Lord God, as mighty men of valor, Lord God, as conquerors, Lord God, that we could pray in righteousness and holiness, Lord God, and that You deliver and heal us, Almighty God, and give us the petitions that we pray for. Oh, Father, we thank You for the ones that You've granted, Lord God. Father, and we know that every time we petition that You grant, Lord God, and we praise You, we thank and worship You. Lord God, we pray that You teach us not to pray amiss, Lord God, to our own selfishness and greedy desires, Lord God, that we pray by the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God. Bless these people, Lord God. Bless this congregation, Lord God. Fill them with Your Spirit and power, Lord God, and let them go forth, Lord God, in the strength and the liberty and the power of a sound mind of Jesus Christ. Bless their efforts, their endeavors, Lord God. Bless their marriages, Lord God. Let them be strong as they learn to honor You first, Lord God, and quit seeking after their own self. Bless, Lord God. Bless and curse not, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, bless. Oh, Father, we love You and we thank You and praise You for Your presence. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. As Brother Jonathan comes up to sing a song with you, the altars are still open if you have need of prayer. We thank You for coming to the house of God this day. Walk and leave this place today believing and expecting and knowing who you are in Christ, that you know God is with you and through you and in you all, that you could do something to bring glory to His name. Amen. Trust Him. Fall in love with Him. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll never let you down. Fall in love with Jesus. Let's give Him a hand. Amen.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.